recognize and celebrate the aunts and the stepmoms and the moms to be and not yet to be. And we recognize that for some Mother's Day may be a little difficult. And so we love you. We're here for you. We're praying for you. And we give thanks for the moms that love us so well and care for us and serve us in ways that we will be forever and ever grateful. As I was trying to figure out what to preach on Mother's Day, what would fit in this day, as I started thinking about Mother's Day, I started to feel like a child myself, to think back to the days and the moments that I watched my mom be a mom, that I watched her cook in the kitchen. We sang about the family Bible being on the table, to watch her do her Bible study on the dining room table, for her to threaten to tell me how multi-purpose a wooden spoon could be if I didn't listen. But to watch her and remember the ways that she loved me as a child, when I think about this day, I feel like a child. In the same way, when we hear music like we did today, I think about it being a child and watching my dad sing in the men's quartet, the pop quartet, in church growing up. He, along with Harry Allen and Eddie Upchurch and Mr. Pat, would sing these songs that would bring energy and life to our service that normally wasn't there. It was just a little extra pop. I guess that's why they called him the Pops Quartet. But I hear this music and I think back to being a child watching my dad sing in church. I think we all have things that bring us back to a mind of a child, whether it's moments or days or experiences or songs that we sing or sometimes smells in the kitchen that just bring us back. There are things that make us feel like a child, a time when life was a little more simple and everything was pretty great. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus presents that challenge to us. To think like a child. To think about something so simple so that we can know something so great. So today we're going to dive into this word together and perhaps become children together today as we hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Spirit of living God, we ask that you move in this place. Move in our hearts and move in our minds and prepare us to receive you. Father, in these moments, I pray that the words that I have prepared will become yours, and that your grace will move through me, and if not through me, then in spite of me. If you would take a moment to pray for yourself, that God would have a word for you today. If you'd be so kind to pray for me, that God would make me helpful to you. Amen. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? When I read today's gospel and hear that question from the disciples asking about the greatest, I think about that queen looking in the mirror who needed to feel the fairest of them all, who in vanity and pride wanted to feel great, and so on a daily basis would ask the question, knowing that she would get the answer she wanted. She asked the question. I hear that. And picture her as I hear the disciples basically asking Jesus, Jesus, the Messiah, come, who's the greatest in heaven's kingdom? They're asking the same kind of question. Throughout the other Gospels, we know that this interaction is the result of a debate between the disciples about greatness and position. How can we be great and how can we have this position next to God and next to Jesus in heaven? In his kingdom, how can we be great? Jesus uses this question to teach. And we know throughout the Gospels, we hear these incredible stories that he teaches well that connects to everyday life so he can bring home this point and draw you in. But he also uses creation oftentimes to teach. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Look at the birds in the air. He points to these things to teach about anxiety. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. I wish that my fig tree would produce a little better. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and hid in a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. I'm trying to become a bread maker, and so this is connecting to me as I learn about having to work the yeast in my dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman that sat down and collected good fish in baskets and threw all the bad, the gaff tops, threw them away. The kingdom of heaven is like the farmer who went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, some in the thorns, some fell on good soil. And here, he calls a little child, a creation, to stand among these men that were seeking to be great. These great men take a break from their argument to look at this little child. And he calls it a little child and not a child that is particularly great or anything special about this child, just a little child standing among these men. And I imagine when the child came up, there was an awkward pause. What does this kid have to do with our question? We're talking about greatness. This is just a kid who happened to be on the street. A big question is asked and a little child is brought forward, blinking, wide-eyed, innocent, a little child. And the lesson is simple and the lesson is clear. But you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear how great it really is. That if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven here, now, and forever, change and become like a child. In other words, these men that ask the question and us as we receive it today, what you have become and what you are seeking isn't it. For you to enter into what I am creating and what I am establishing on earth as it is in heaven, you need to change. The ESV says to turn. The King James says be converted. Other versions say turn around. With your line of thinking, where you are headed, it's the wrong direction. Turn around and look at this little child. This is a picture of who and what you need to be. As I was studying this week, I came across this description of what it would looks like for us to become a little child. Becoming a little child means that we maintain the wonderful and beautiful characteristics and qualities of children that life in this sinful world tends to beat out of us. Like what? Tenderness of conscience. Openness about emotions and feelings. Creativity and imagination. Wonder and awe. Joy. Eternal hope. Playfulness and humor. Trust, easy forgiveness, undying love, boundless exuberance and energy, always thinking the best about life and people. Be willing to learn and grow. These are the sort of qualities that tend to define children, but which get stripped out of people as they encounter the sin and brokenness of the world. As adults, we get bored with flowers, bugs, and sunsets. We lose delight in talking with others about nothing. We become jaded and disinterested. Adults hold grudges, harbor fears, and stay angry. Adults refuse to forgive. Adults remember slights. Adults lose hope because their hopes have been dashed again, again, and again. Adults do things because they've always done it that way, and they have trouble imagining it being done any other way. But children don't behave this way in any of these ways. And neither did Jesus. Jesus lived in awe of life and awe of God and awe of humanity. And this awe was contagious as he went into these cities. People were drawn to him. People who saw how Jesus lived began to see how life should be lived. Jesus revealed how God intended life to be lived. In other words, those who began to live life like Jesus are those who began to see heaven come down on earth. They began to see the rule and reign of God in their own life, in all of its beauty, its majesty, its glory, and its creativity. This is what Jesus himself lived, and this is what Jesus invited others to live also. He taught that if you want to experience God's life in this life, then you need to become like a little child. If you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, return to a childlike faith. What does that look like? Maybe return to joy. Remember a time that you experienced joy and return to that. Easier said than done, but what do you do when you lose your keys? You retrace your steps. Where have I been? Let me walk back the way that I've been and sit in the places that I've been and go to the places that I've been so that I can find my keys. Why not do that with our joy? When did we last experience joy and take steps getting back to that place? Maybe return to simplicity. Jesus tells us again and again that small things are able to do big things. A mustard seed to move mountains, or grow in a way that offers a place for birds to land and offer shade to those that pass by. Return to simply resting. Jesus loved to take naps. Sometimes when our kids get super exhausted, we have to make them lie down. You need to rest. You need to take a nap. Moms, you get to take a nap today. Maybe return to just going for it. You know, kids, they just kind of go all in on the things that they're doing. They're not distracted by culture or what people think, and they enjoy the freedom from the debate of greatness. They enjoy freedom from the debate about success. They enjoy the freedom from the debate of politics. They simply go all in on the things that they experience in life. They trust that those that love them will provide their greatest needs. Maybe we need to return to just simply enjoying being with the Father. Something that I very much enjoy now that I know that my kids are going to quit doing. When Sean and I wake up, the first thing we do is grab a cup of coffee. We're sitting on the couch. And Hollis usually wakes up first, and he comes and crawls in between us or crawls in someone's lap. Evelyn does the same thing. The first thing they want to do in the morning is be with their parent, to be held, to be comforted. And if the coffee didn't work, their bad breath will wake us up. The last thing that they want to do is have a parent lay down with them and hold them and kiss them and tell them goodnight. They begin and end their day with the desire to be held by the ones that love them. We, in the same way, need to return to the desire to be held from beginning and the end of the day by the Father who loves us, that wants to be with us, that wants to talk to us and say, I hope that you have a great day, and at the end of the day, tell me what went right, tell me what went wrong, and let me tell you that I love you through it all. To return to that. Maybe return to reading the Bible enthusiastically. If you read some of the old Bible stories with kids, they get excited because they don't know what's going to happen next. They're on the edge of their seat because they know God is creating this incredible story. And if you come here on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday and watch kids get excited to participate in the story of God, we need to do the same thing. To recognize that God has created this incredible story, He's invited us to participate in it, and we should be excited about what comes on the next page. Enthusiastically engage what God has given us. Return to seeking His help in any problem and to rely on Him for guidance and to trust Him explicitly, the way that children do that every day with those that love them. And how much more does our God love us? So how much more should we trust Him? And lastly, probably the most important, return to the simplicity of the gospel. In reading this week, I came across a story about a pastor that went on vacation with his family, and he and his daughter were taking a walk down the beach. There was this dock down in the distance that he thought that they could get to, they could walk out on, and they would look in the water and see fish. And as they were walking, the daughter got tired, so he started carrying her. Then he started getting tired, and she didn't care because she was looking at seagulls and seashells. But that dock seemed like they were never going to get to it. So as they were walking and she was distracted, he turned off the beach and said, I'm going back, but I'm not going to walk in the sand because walking in sand is tiring. And so he got on the street. And it's a busy street. There were restaurants and shops. And then all of a sudden, the daughter realized that they were going a different direction. And she turned to her dad and said, Daddy, how do we get home? And he looked at her and said, Don't worry. Daddy knows the way. As they were walking, and she would say hello to people that were walking by and looking at the different things happening on the street, she kept repeating, Daddy knows the way home. Daddy knows the way home. Daddy knows the way home. During his last night with Jesus, Thomas asked his friend, How do we go the way that you're going? And Jesus simply said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way home. A child has confidence that a loving voice will always lead them home. What Jesus saw in a little child was total confidence and freedom from pride and freedom from concern and freedom from selfishness. A child that would simply trust that dad knows the way home. And the more that you get to know the story of God, and the more that you read Paul's letters, you see that God longs for his grace to show up in weaknesses. Because in weakness, there's room for grace to work, because it's made strong in weakness. That's why we sing, "Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." He is strong. And he is the good shepherd, and he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the true vine. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. So perhaps the question that we ask, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the weakest of them all? May it be me, and may it be us, so that we give God's grace room to work and learn to walk in the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And simply say, "Jesus, Jesus, my Savior, come in my heart and lead me home." It's so simple, but so great. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give thanks for simple truth.